Well, welcome. I've been waiting for this moment. There was a lot of science, wasn't there? I will confess to you, I am not a science person at all. So I try to engage very intently, but I am a relational person all the way. So I feel like they held us off till this exact moment. For such a time as this, we all come together as women, and we get to talk about women things. And I'm so excited about that. I want to introduce myself. My name is Kathleen Nelson. My hubby is right there in the back of the room. He will be the man in the room. We've been married for a little over 32 years. We have 8 kids. We have 4 sons and 4 daughters. Most of those kids are adults now. We have 2 in high school. They're both here. We have 2 in college, and we have 4 that are kind of out of college and working. Our oldest is married. I am a grandma. Yes. I am a grandma of 2 little twin 1-year-old daughters. Or not daughters, a little girl. They're not mine. They're little girls. So Addie and Bria. So that's really, really sweet. So I'm a mom, a wife, a grandma. Stephen's been pastoring for, 27 years, I think. So we were up in Fort Collins, then we were in Greeley, and then we went down to El Paso, and we've done a couple of different church plants down there, different churches and that kind of thing. But boy, the Lord has been good to me. And what I want to talk about today is something that's very dear to my heart. And I know I'm going to cry, and I didn't get Kleenex, so we'll have to figure that out. But God has just really laid this topic on my heart. And I've had my own journey of this, just figuring this out myself, and I'll share a little bit how I was raised. Thanks, sweetie. I might need more, but yeah, we'll start there, okay? If everyone's got me, thank you. That'll work. Okay. So I've wrestled through this. I've prayed through this. I've just been pouring over the Word for several years now about in this specific area, to the point that last week Stephen was walking through the kitchen, and I said, "Hey, hon, real quick, I have a question for you." And he turned around and he said, "Is it about biblical womanhood?" I'm like, "Yes." He goes, "No, we're not talking about this anymore. You've asked all your questions. We've talked all about this. You've been thinking about this for years now." And so it's so funny. He never says no, but he did say no to me. "No, we're not talking about this." So just that gives you a little bit of flavor of how much this has been on my heart. And I will tell a little bit of my story, how I was raised and that kind of thing as we go on. But I feel like I'm still processing. I feel like I'm still learning. Even 2 weeks ago, I was in the Word going through 1 Corinthians 11 and one of the passages on womanhood. And it was just like I just saw it in a different light. I'm like, whoa, I didn't see this. And that has been just the way it has gone with the Lord with me is just kind of unraveling. And in Psalm 119, 130, it says, "The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." I have personally experienced that. Just God's word has unfolded and has continued to just go deeper and deeper and deeper with me. Okay, so when I say I am a woman, or if you said I am a woman, how does that make you feel? Is that comfortable? You guys are comfortable with that feeling? That took me a while to get comfortable with that. That was just not how I saw myself, even though I feel like I've been on this long journey. Just to say I am a woman was just a very long process to get to be comfortable and have clarity. And even now, so I've been talking to several of you sisters kind of through different conversations, or I'll walk into a room and we'll start talking about things. And one of the sisters said, "What is womanhood?" And I'm like, oh, you know. But if I said, there's another sentence that is very meaningful to me, that I feel like I have clarity and I feel like I have understanding and I can walk in. And it's a slightly different sentence, but it says, "I am God's woman." And if I say I am God's woman, that is clarifying to me. I can understand those words. I don't, you know, what the world gives us and how the world interprets this is its own thing. But just to look at what God's word says and how he describes womanhood, I can really be comfortable and confident in that. We cannot separate our walks with God from being a woman to embrace that God has designed us to express himself within these parameters of being a woman. And I know that this topic might not be on your radar right now. In fact, if you could pick a topic for what the women were going to talk about today, you might pick something else. There might be something else that you want to talk about. Maybe it would be anxiety or depression or relationships or dating or, I don't know, pick it. You know, there's a lot of things that are on your heart that you're thinking about. But yet I am convinced that being a woman and understanding God's calling of a woman is a certain part of this puzzle. It fits with what you're struggling with. This is a part. If you think about your life as a puzzle and you think about all the puzzle pieces and you are getting this picture as you connect these puzzle pieces, part of the answer to your questions of your heart comes in your identity as a woman. Absolutely, it comes in your identity as a believer, as a Christ follower. But there's also this whole aspect of our hearts and our lives that come under that. So I am just convinced that this is part of what God has for us. So most of us have not been formally, and a lot of us even informally, trained in this area. I grew up on a farm in Iowa. We had about 1,000 head of cattle. My dad row cropped hundreds of acres, and I was out on the farm a lot. That's who I was. And even now, in the whole county, there is one stoplight in the whole county. So we are talking rural Iowa, very rural, right? And because I was kind of a out on the farm type of thing, I just didn't kind of engage with this. My mom, we had six kids, three girls and three boys, and my mom kind of did the part of that life for us, and I was out riding horses and gathering cattle and working cattle and moving cattle and that kind of thing. And so the first time I ever heard about this, I was in youth group, and we went to a small Baptist church in Iowa. I got saved kind of about 10 years old in Sunday school. They shared the gospel, and I gave my life to Christ. I got baptized. And the youth group leader and his wife were pretty good friends. I was good friends with them. And she called all the youth group girls over to her house to have a pizza and a sleepover. And there were probably five of us. And she talked about womanhood. She talked about being a wife and being a mom. And that was the first time any words had ever been spoken to me about any of that. And I remember that very clearly. I had a lot of questions for that. Now, I would say my mom knew the Lord. My mom and dad both got saved after I was born, and I think they were trying to follow the Lord. And I would say my mom, I can look back and see some examples of that, where she was giving her heart to that. My mom has been gone for 19 years now, so I have been motherless for 19 years. So this has just been its own journey for me just to understand this. Then there was, I think I would call it just a season of silence. I was continuing to grow in the Lord, but the churches that I was in, there wasn't a womanhood conference. There were no conversations, or at least any that I heard about, at least any that I went to. I don't remember conferences happening or anything like that. So fast forward in my life, I went to Iowa State, graduated with an undergrad. My mom and dad were going through a terrible divorce. My dad also ran off with my mom's best friend. My mom and dad were the marriage counselors of the couple. And my dad ran off with her, the woman, which was my mom's best friend. So that was all going down when I was in college, and I was definitely reeling from that. And I graduated from college at Iowa State, and I decided I need to just move. There was just so much grief. Everybody was just crying, and so much grief. My mom was on the phone every day with me crying, and my dad was on the phone, and it was just a rough season. And so I applied for grad school all over the country, and I got in at University of Northern Colorado in Greeley. And they put me on probation because I didn't have a great GPA. And I remember driving out to Greeley, and I was driving by myself, and I remember it was just the Lord, but there were a couple of decisions in that car by myself. And one was, I had always been called Kathy, and I hated that name. My name was Kathleen. I didn't know a single person in Greeley, not a person. And I decided, I'm going to be Kathleen now. Now, anyone that I meet, that's going to be my name. And I decided, and I am going to find a church tonight. I drove out on a Sunday. And that night, kind of a funny story, I pull into Greeley. I looked up Baptist churches because that's how I grew up. And they gave me an address. Well, it's the one that if you're going out on 34, there's a Baptist church. Is it called Hillside Baptist? Or it used to be Hillside Baptist? Greeley girls, or maybe it's Mountain View Baptist. Okay. So I was looking for that church, And I got lost in that neighborhood around there in the back. And this elderly couple came out and they said, "Do you need help?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm new to town. I'm looking for this church." And they said, "Why don't you come to church with us?" And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Where do you go to church?" And they said, "We go to the Four Square Church downtown." And so I went to the Four Square Church downtown with this older couple that night, Sunday night, and it was this charismatic, people were falling in the aisles. It was just this crazy experience, and I'm like, whoa! And of course, you know, it was just very, very different from what I had experienced. It was a very small crowd, and it was crazy. But anyway, I landed in Bethel Baptist that next Sunday, and I decided at that point two things. My name's going to be Kathleen, and I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm gonna figure this out, just kind of walking with the Lord. Fast forward out of that, I got a master's degree from University of Northern Colorado in communication. Steve Nelson walked into my life. That's another whole story. I got married. And when I got married, Stephen had been on the church plant in Fort Collins, Fort Collins Summit View. And so I started going to Fort Collins Summit View. And there were women in that church that were very serious about biblical womanhood. And there were women that were living it and that had it on their lips. And one of them would be Carol Meyer, John's wife, had a huge impact on me. If you know Carol, Carol's a very quiet, godly woman, but she had a huge impact on my life. And there were other women around there. You know, the conversation started rolling into my world. Like, here I was, a new married, and I started going to a leadership training class. It was LTC back in the day, and it was women's LTC, and they were covering biblical issues, and they were covering wifehood and motherhood and all these things. And just started me on this journey of things that I was experiencing, things I desired. You know, some of this is hard. Some of this is hard to share, but it resonates so deep with me because God has done such a work in my life. Let me get back to my notes. Today is January 1st, 2023. We've all come to this spot with our own journeys. I just want to make an appeal to us today, an appeal not out of knowledge and not out of science. Praise the Lord, because I have nothing to say out of that. But will you walk with me through this process this afternoon for the next hour? And will you? It might be emotional for you. You might feel some resistance to it. There might be some things that I share with you that, I don't know what to do with that, Kathleen. And I have walked through all of that, too. One thing I want you guys to think about, okay, is what Jim said. Jim said the word is true and that we have to wrestle with that, right? What God calls us to, it's not what Kathleen Nelson's calling us to. It's the word. And you have to figure out what the word means in your own life. And I can understand and appreciate and even have experienced my own resistance to some of this. And what does this mean? And what about me and all those things? But I would just lay before you, we sing, we all have sang all weekend long, how much we love the Lord and how much we want to follow God. This is part of a journey that you will go down, is wrestling out these very things in your own life. And I can share my story, but this will be for you to walk in. This will be for you to decide, is this what God has? Did Kath get those words right? I'm going to go back and check. I'm going to be like the Bereans. It talks about the Bereans. I'm going to be like the Bereans and check and see what she said. Is it true? Is that the way this is worded? So I invite that. I invite you into your own journey. I invite you to be my worst critic. Go for it, because it's not about me. And I could be wrong, right? I can only share what I know, but the word is there, the word is laid out, and I invite you to push back on that even a little bit through the rest of the day and be honest and talk about those things. But maybe just to let our guards down and understand that. I want you guys to know there's no place in this world right now that I would rather be, because this is how this is important to me. And how, when I was your guys' age, I wish I would have heard this a little bit more and started going through this. So this is an honor to be able to share with you guys. So let's pray. Someone else want to pray? Hi, Heather, can you pray? And I'll go ahead.
Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this time that you carved out for us here today. I just ask that you would allow us to just, in the short time we have, just to kind of skip all the time it would usually take to get to the heart of things and get to deep conversation and real conversation and being transparent and honest with each other and in our discussion time. Ask that you would fast forward all that so we could really dive deep into your word, that we could hear what you have for us specifically as women, and that we would just remember all along the way how much you love and treasure us and have a great role for each of us. So we love you, Lord. Please just be with Kathleen and give her the words you have for her today to say to us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thanks, Heather.
Okay, let's start off on your sheet. It should say, what's the definition of biblical womanhood, right? Okay, let's go with that. This is a definition that I've just worked out in my own life. Living out and expressing my faith through my God-given gender as a woman. As the Bible prescribes me to live, love, yield, serve, act as a woman. It's being a woman led and defined by the word. Okay, let's first talk about what the world tells us, and I can fly by this because we all know what the world tells us, but I'm just going to do it real quick. We've been introduced, daily spoon-fed, a message rooted in fear and pride. The world's message says that we are in a battle, and that battle is rooted in the issues of equality, fairness, and value. So they are saying, the world tells us every day, that we need to join ranks together. We need to sign up. We need to join this fight. The overarching message is nobody's going to fight for you. You have to fight for yourself. Nobody is going to defend you. You have to defend yourself. And they've taken great tactics and strategies for us to feel like we are being, whatever, overlooked, or we need to stand up and fight for this, okay? Part of their strategies, there's two things they've done. It's called gender bending and gender blending. Okay? Gender bending and gender blending. So the whole message here is the reasons that they're neutralizing or bending or blending gender, even trying to erase womanhood, is because that they don't see any good in it. And so if we can neutralize it, then that will equal us. That will give us equality. So if the issue is equality, the issue is fairness, the issue is value, if we neutralize gender, then we will somehow be equal. Well, at the root of that is they don't see good in femininity. They don't see good in God's design. And so they've taken on these tactics of redefining gender. It's important to remember that this is from pride. This is from independence and self-protection. So the world, again, it's self-protecting yourself. You have to fight for yourself. The world is going to tell you that you are not equal, and you have to take up this mantle, take up this banner, and join the ranks to fight for women equality. And I could go down a whole conversation of that about all the people in the world that have not been treated equally. Women are some of that at some points in history, but so are children. True. Where is the banner for children's rights? We women are told, you guys get on the bandwagon. You guys make sure you're equal. Make sure you're treated right. You tell me, should we not have the banner for the children? What about the elderly? Where is the banner for the elderly? But you don't hear about that. All you hear is that we're being treated unequal, and we need to have our value, and we need to have our equality. And it's just the whole history of the world has mistreated people. The whole history of the world. You know, you think about the Holocaust. The Holocaust is its own piece of history, right? We women aren't the victims. We have been victimized at certain points in history, but so have children. So have men. Men have been victimized. Am I right? So if you step back out of this, you say, I don't got this right. The world is just propaganda, one message. Women, women, women. You're being treated. You're not equal. You don't have value. You have to fight for it. And we're going to look in a minute about God's, what's God say about this? Are we believing the lies of this world? We are, unless we are intentionally not. We are believing these lies unless we are intentionally not. So if you are doing nothing in your history, in your life, to combat these lies, if you are not doing anything intentionally to combat these lies, then you are falling for it. It's just, and I don't blame you. It's just that it's just everywhere you look. You pick up your phone, it's everywhere you look. All the media and all that is all that. So unless you're intentionally fighting against that message, you're falling for it. Okay? The Bible does not say that this is our battle cry. The Bible does not say to join ranks for this. If this was on God's heart, if he wanted us to join ranks, it would be in the scripture. He would say women are treated unequal, blah, 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 and it would be there. This battle cry for women equality is not in the scripture. It's very, very important. God did not ask us to draw these battle lines. God did not ask us to fight for our own dignity, our own rights, our own equality. That is not what God's heart is. Think about, does God ever ask his followers to defend themselves? Does God ever ask his followers to fight for their rights? No, God says, trust me, entrust me with what's going on in your life. Follow me, I will be your defender. I will be your king. I will lead you into battles that I want you to fight. But this is not on God's heart. He doesn't ask you to defend your own rights. I think that's so important. Elizabeth Elliot quote there, the fact that I am a woman does not make me a different kind of Christian, but the fact that I am a Christian makes me a different kind of woman. And I think that's so true. As Christian women, we are not, this is not our battle cry. If it was, it would be in the scripture. We are called into something else, entrusting our lives to God. Something that's beautiful, something that brings us dignity, something that brings us value is what God has in store for us. But if we're not careful, we're just sucked into this lie. We're just sucked into this battle. There is a difference. Is there any difference in being a man than in being a woman? We must look to the Creator to understand the created. We did not make ourselves, and to understand our value, we cannot look within. The answer to your value is not within you. The answer to your value is you look to the Lord and he tells you what your value is. He's the creator. He created us. He's the one that gave us value. And so you can't look inside yourself and go, I'm going to understand myself and that's going to bring me value. You look at, okay, God, what do you say? You created me. He created man out of the dust. That's profound. There was no man in Genesis, and he created man out of the dust. And then he looked and he saw Adam's situation, and he responded. He said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And he responded to that need. We are the only thing in this world that was made out of another living thing. He took the rib out of the man and he made a woman. He did not make the woman out of the dust. He took a rib out of the man and made the woman. And so if you look at the creation and if you start looking at that Genesis and unpacking that, what was God's heart? What did he have for the value of women? Here are some very simple truths that have profound significance. And I'm just going to read through them. You can just soak on them. God created all mankind. God determined that there would be two genders, male and female. Jay-Z, how many genders did your class tell you at the community college?
71.
71 genders is what Jay-Z got in class, okay? I don't know what class that was, but God determined that there would be two genders. And then he appointed every person one of those two genders. He gave them one or the other, okay? In his goodness, he did that. God intentionally designed you. His design of you as a person in every way reflects him and that you're made in his image. Your womanhood is an expression of beautiful aspects of God himself. God's will for your life is fulfilled and expressed as a woman. You were not created gender neutral. He appointed you as a woman, and your femininity is fully expressed in that. He did not express you as a man. He expressed you as a woman intentionally. I want you to think about the intentionality and the moment that you were formed in your mother's womb. The scripture there, Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. This next part, focus on this next part. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God, when he designed you to be female, he completely poured out his love for you personally. He was overflowing with good for you. And I want you to write this down. God is unapologetic that he made you a woman. He will not apologize for that. He sees beauty in that. There's value in that. There's good in that. He honors that. He has a good plan in that. That's amazing. That's amazing. I think our world says, God, you should apologize that you made me a woman. I know there are women that wish they were men. God does not apologize. When you were made in the depths of the earth, when he wove you together, he assigned you to be a woman. And he's not going to apologize for that. Well, that was an expression of goodness to you that he has for your life. Okay, let's talk about a little bit of the misconceptions of biblical womanhood. First, consider this with me. Is biblical womanhood a matter of roles? Is biblical womanhood a matter of roles? What is it outside of a role? What is biblical womanhood outside of a role? It's not about a role. It might be expressed in different roles, but the value and application of biblical womanhood does not magically appear when you get into a certain role. Okay? Getting married and having children is not where you get your value. In that role is not where you start expressing your biblical womanhood. Your biblical womanhood is outside of that role. When a man gets married, it doesn't make him a man. When a woman gets married, it doesn't make her a woman. In fact, in the depths of the earth, before God saw your unformed body, is where he assigned that. A role is not, it's not about a role. It's about the heart. Okay? It's true that not every time God created a man, he created a woman. So it's not like, well, I have to be in this certain situation in this certain role. In fact, you will move in and out of different roles in your lives throughout your lives. Right now, you are in a season of singleness. You might continue to be in a season of singleness for a while. God intends for you completely to express your biblical womanhood today, right now, regardless of where you're at in roles. It's outside of that. The expression of womanhood is grounded in something outside of your roles, but it is in your very nature. We are persuaded from Scripture that our femininity is rooted in who we are by nature, not by role. Femininity is sewn into your physical makeup, okay? Women are physically designed uniquely. We bring something to this world, even physically. We can look at that. We are designed physically to give life, to nurture life, and to receive. These are profound truths. Profound. What does that mean? You know, we know it's not a role. What does it mean? Women are the only kind on the face of the earth who can give another physical life. It's only a woman that can do this in the whole world, okay? You think about pregnancy, giving yourself on behalf of others, giving yourself, your body, laying down your life for other people. It is a fact that I have put on and taken off over 500 pounds. True. From 28 years old to now, put on and taken off over 500 pounds. God designed my body to be able to do that, to have children. There is a design there. But let me ask you this question, okay? It is easy for me to see womanhood kind of in that role. But is there something beyond that? Is there something beyond that in the design of my nature? Could it be that perhaps we were made to bring life outside of pregnancy, but in through a relationship? Could it be that there was a woman design that in relationship we would bring good, we would bring life? You think about nurturing. Our breasts nurture life, right? Our breasts nurture life. Could it be that it's a design of our heart to nurture, to come alongside someone else and bring good to them? Even on the formula shortage during COVID, right? You couldn't get any formula. Well, my daughter-in-law, my beautiful daughter-in-law, had twin babies. twin baby girls at that time. That was a little nerve-wracking. But her body could sustain those babies. She could sustain and keep those babies, even with the own design of her body. That's amazing. Okay, let's look real quick at the biblical profile of a godly woman. Do you guys have that? Oh, let me finish that verse. Okay, that Psalms 33. The biblical womanhood is woven into our very hearts. Consider this verse with me. Psalm 33, 13 through 15. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. That scripture tells me he formed my heart. So I know that in that moment when I was formed in my mother's womb, before I was even born, he formed my heart too. There was something that he put in my heart. I just want to go through this profile of a godly woman. I'm going to just throw out phrases, and you're going to see on your sheet, in parentheses, is the passage that it comes from. But we're not going to read through all these passages, but you're going to see, oh, this is probably where that come from. I can go back and look and find those passages, find those exact things. So this is your picture of womanhood, biblical womanhood. If you ask me what womanhood, according to the world, it's totally different than this. But this is what God's design when he made you a woman. This is what it is. God's woman has unfading beauty. This is from 1 Peter 3. Okay. Her beauty does not merely come from her outside. Her beauty, according to God, comes from her inside. Does anyone know what it says right after that? It says, a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Does that matter to us? Does that matter that God says your beauty comes from the inside and it's a gentle and quiet spirit and it's of great worth to me? That should matter to us. If you soak on that, that should matter. And I'll talk a little bit more about some of this stuff, but her beauty comes from a gentle and quiet spirit. In 1 Peter 3, she has put her hope in God. For it says, in that passage, it says, this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. So a beautiful woman to God is a woman that has a gentle and a quiet spirit. And we've already talked about that. I walk in this room and these girls are grabbing me like, hey, let's chat about this. And we're going to talk about this and we're going to hopefully be able to even continue to talk about this through the afternoon once we get through here. But what does that mean? What does that gentle and quiet spirit mean? How does that look? How do you foster that? She's put her hope in God. In Proverbs 31, it says it's a woman who fears the Lord, a woman who honors God. You know, I got to thinking the other day, I was in the Word, and I was thinking about we're supposed to live reverently. And what does reverence mean? And that's going to be down here in this line of characteristics of a woman. But reverent, when I got to thinking about it, it means my heart's desire today is to please God. My heart's desire today is to not displease God. I don't want to displease him. I want to please God. It's not just I want to please him. It's that I don't want to displease him. There's a reverence that God is a part of my life, and there's a fear, and there's a knowledge of that. And that impacts me as I walk around this hotel, as I talk to people, as I interact with people. I am reverent that God is with me in that. She gets her identity. Okay, we talked about Genesis 2, where the Lord says, I'll make her helper. So we're designed as a helper. Proverbs 31 says, a wife of noble character. In other translations, it says, an excellent woman of noble character is worth far more than rubies. There's your value statement. An excellent woman. Look up the Amplified on that one. That one's awesome and Amplified. It talks about her being intelligent, capable, spiritual. It uses some other words there, but that's a beautiful picture of our worth in God's eyes. We're worth more than rubies. The woman is the glory of man. This is 1 Corinthians 11. Man was not created for woman, but woman for man. So you're going to have to put in the word not there. That's our identity outside of roles. Outside of roles. Okay, let's look at her character. Okay, she is worthy of respect. That comes in 1 Timothy. She's temperate and trustworthy in everything. So a couple of synonyms for temperate are right there, mild, agreeable, gentle. Think about that. God's will for my life, for Kathleen Nelson, is to be temperate and trustworthy in everything. whoa, what a beautiful calling on my life. What a beautiful calling. It's not like I go, whoa, yep, I got that. I feel that. I feel really good about that. No, I go, that's humbling. That's humbling to see that that's God's call on my life, that he wants me to be temperate and trustworthy in everything. Reverent in the way they live. We talked about that. There's our speech. We're going to talk about our speech a little bit. Not malicious talkers, not slanderers. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Our speech comes under his beautiful picture. 1 Peter 3, that passage talks about Sarah, and it says, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. That is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful passage. If you just take that phrase to phrase, just write out, get a clean piece of paper, and I'm just going to write out each one of those phrases and give some room underneath those phrases and just sit in that, just sit in that and soak in that. What does that mean? For God's woman, it means that she does what is right. She's reverent. She's trustworthy. She's temperate. She does what is right. And then she does not give way to fear. There's your emotions. There's your emotion verse. There's another anxiety. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. Those emotions are covered in the scripture. They're there. If you're a woman, you're having struggles with emotions. At 57, I can tell you that, okay? Yeah, you're still going to have troubles at 57 with your emotions. And the answers to that are right there. The answers to that are in there. And so you just got to pull that and you got to say, oh, God, what do you got here? What is this? God, you call me to not give way to fear. And yet, God, I am gripped by fear. I'm afraid of all kinds of things. And you got to go deep with God on that. You got to go really deep with God and be honest and be raw and fight for it. Fight for it. God, help me. Help me to walk in this. I see where I'm afraid all over the place. I respond to people out of fear. I respond to people with my guard up. That's not what you have for me. You don't have self-protection for me, God. You want me to walk in faith. You want me to walk peacefully. And you don't have self-protection for me. It talks about in 1 Peter 3 that others see the purity and reverence of her life. This is at the beginning of 1 Peter 3. It says, wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe, they may be won over without words by the behavior of your life. There's the behavior. We can win people over by the behavior of our lives. And then it says, comma, when they see the purity and reverence in your life. Is my life, can you see the purity and the reverence in my life? Can people see purity and reverence in your life? That's humbling. That's humbling. What a beautiful picture of a woman that's not defending herself, a woman that's not fighting for her rights, a woman that is yielded, a woman that sees something way beyond what the world is speaking to them, a woman that is intentionally saying, no, I do not want that message. And this woman, this is who I am, okay? She's clothed with, here's a couple of her clothing. She's dressed with good deeds. She's clothed with strength and dignity. That's what we should be clothed with and known for. She's self-controlled and pure. She has a reputation. Her children bless her. Her husband also, they rise up and they say, this is a godly, beautiful woman. Younger women learn from her. She's well known for her good deeds. There's all kinds of verses in there about us women, God's women being known for good deeds. There's, if you look up good deeds and you start collecting, harvesting out all of those verses on good deeds, we are supposed to be known for good deeds. That's the mark of Christ on our lives. Huge, very, very convicting to me. Very, very, what a calling on my life to be known for that. brings good. She teaches what is good. So there's words out of her mouth that are teaching what is good. She's busy at home. She watches over the affairs of her household. She's known for bringing up children. I like to pull all these into one spot. She's known for bringing up children. She's busy at home. She watches over the affairs of her household. I'm going to generalize that for you, okay? Because a lot of you guys are single, okay? She's drawn her circles around people that she can love and invest and pour out into. For you single sisters, she's drawn her circle around people that God has given her. This is where she expresses her femininity. This is where she expresses and does her good deeds. This is where her speech comes in and it brings life to other people. She's not pregnant in that situation. She's bringing life to other people. She's nurturing in relationship. She's speaking truth. She's caring for people's hearts. We were designed for that. We were designed for that. That is who we are. That is who God's woman is. She helps those in need. She washes the feet of the saints. And I'm not saying I'm amazing in any of this by any means. I'm still on a journey, and I'm not saying I have answers of everything that this looks like. But is there a picture in the Word of what God's woman is? I just harvested it out for you. All of those phrases are in the Word. All of those phrases God uses to describe you. All of those phrases are what God has for your life, where He wants to take your laser focus, and He wants you to go, that is where I'm going to spend my coin. That's how I'm going to spend my coin. That's what I'm going to do with my life. That's what my heart calling is. That's how I'm going to express it. Okay, I'm going to fill in a little bit of stories about myself. What's the next one? Okay, another Elizabeth Elliot. The woman who accepts the limitations of womanhood finds her very gifts, her special calling, which bears her up into perfect freedom into the will of God. And I am not going to sugarcoat this. Womanhood has its limitations, but so does manhood, and so does childhood. Every person has limitations. It's not that we're the only ones limited. It's not that we're the only ones given definition. Men have a definition. Men have a definition from God where God says, don't do this. You must be the husband of but one wife, man. Ah, that's limiting to men. Very limiting. So we get all bristled because we have limitations. If you step back and you're like, whoa, wait. Everybody has limitations. God tells us no on a lot of things. God tells us no on speech. God tells us no on behavior. God tells us no on relationships. God tells us no on finances. God gives all kinds of definition, and He doesn't apologize for it because He knows it will bring you life. It will bring you good. That's why He does it, because He loves us. Those limitations bring life to us. Here's a couple of stories from my own personal agenda. I had to figure this out. God has been working on me as I've taken each step of obedience. Something I want to show you guys. You guys know the verse, is it on your sheet, Matthew? Does someone want to read that? I love that verse. I love that verse. There's so much hope in that verse. Here is my visual aid. This is a yoke. This is what this word is talking about. This was made for oxen. This is what this word says. The word says, if you come under me, if you allow me to define your life, if you choose to position yourself under my definition, under what the limitations and the freedoms that I give you, and if you trust me to do this, what does the word promise? What does that verse promise?
He gives rest.
He will give you rest. How many of you guys want rest for your souls? This is where it is found. This is where rest for your souls is found. What does He say in the scripture about His yoke? It's easy. Ah, is this scary to you? Is this scary? It is, isn't it? It's scary to trust God and to say, God, if I choose to come underneath this, it's going to be easy, God says. What does he say about the burden? He says the yoke is easy. What does he say about the burden? It's light. Are you afraid of this? Yeah, it's scary, isn't it? It's very scary to trust God at this level and to say, I will come under you. I will trust you. I will walk in this. Hold God to his word. Do this and hold God to his word. He will not let you down. You will not be disappointed. But you have to choose it. I can't choose it for you. I chose it for my own life, and all I can say is I don't regret it. And for you older women in the room, will you please stand if you have not regretted in choosing to follow God? You have to be over, let's say, over 45 to stand. These women, have you women regretted it?
No.
Has it brought you life? Has it been a good thing? What would you guys tell these sisters? What would you say to them? They're scared.
This is life.
This is life. It's good. It will bring good to them. Go ahead.
Don't waste it.
Don't waste it. Okay, anybody else?
You can get out of the low self-esteem and self-pity and, self-pity. Mm-hmm. And you will, if you rely on God, have a God, and so you will get out the emotion of self-pity, low self-esteem, and low value, something like that.
Anybody else, any other woman, have any words for these sisters? They are scared. This is scary. This is very scary.
There's joy.
There's joy.
There's peace.
There's peace.
I need to get there first.
You have to choose it.
Yeah.
You have to choose it. And it feels confining and it feels like, what about everything else? But we would all say there are surrounding you young sisters right now. There are 1, 2, 3, 4. There are 9 of us that would tell you guys. How old are you, girl, in the very back there?
Yeah. I am 45.
I was going to say, where's Katie? Katie would say it's good too, wouldn't you, Katie? Of course you would. All right, you guys can sit down. I'm like, wait a second, Katie, where are you? Have to call her out on that. Okay. It's worked out for me in a way that I never could have seen when I was a young woman. Choosing to let go and let God do with me what he purposed. It's all fit together in some amazing supernatural way that only God could have seen. He's taken all my talents, all my giftings, even my personality, and he has formed them into something far more amazing and satisfying than I ever could have hoped for. My identity has been shipped away and shaped in something totally different. There were times on this journey that I had no idea who I was. I was just lost in the sense of I was pouring out my life for so many other people that I just felt like I don't even know what I'm doing. And yet God was at work in those moments. God was working in my life. He was bringing about things. God knew me. He kept me. He had me all the time. Every step of the way, he was changing me. He was growing me into a different woman as I walked with him through this. And I was scared. I was scared too. But he did it, and it's been beautiful. Why did I give myself to motherhood instead of my master's degree? I had a plan. My master's degree, I was going to go, and I was going to be in the corporate world and human resources and teach and train people about blah, 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 blah. And I laid that down long before I understood what God was going to do. And I had children, and my children are extra beautiful. That probably helped. But I had children, and it was just like, okay, God, I guess this is for nothing. And now I look at my life, and it's like, wow, the Lord surely had all that training, all of that for my life. He knew exactly what he was doing, even though I couldn't see it. Stephen couldn't force me to give up my life for our children. I was too stubborn, too pig-headed for that. This had to be my own wrestle. This had to be my own heart before God. God has brought it all full circle. He's dealt with me very deeply on these things. Isaiah, is the next verse on your thing, Isaiah 55? Am I in the right spot still? Okay. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. I should have this banner on somewhere in our house. Kathleen, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. I have learned so much from that one passage. That one verse means the world to me, because I can't tell you how many times that I've had to yield, that I've had to submit to God, that I've had to trust him when I can't see what's ahead. And my thoughts are not your thoughts, Kathleen. I know you have a plan. I know you think we should do it a certain way. You should go talk to Steve and persuade Steve to do it a certain way. And I've tried all those tricks. Praise the Lord, he's a godly man and puts up with this. But, you know, I realized, just trust the Lord. Just lay it down. You will experience life in that. You cannot figure this all out. You cannot take this into your own hands. You cannot make it happen. If I could have, I would have. I tried really hard. You can't. You have to trust the Lord through these things. God is doing and continues to do things that I do not understand, and I don't see it until I get through it. I've tasted how that is, and now I crave it. I crave it. Maybe two weeks before this conference, some scary things rolled into our world. And they were scary, and I did not have answers. And I'm old enough now that I've tried picking up the phone and solving solutions for other people. I've tried sending a text and it being the perfect text to solve the solution or to make things better. And I've realized, you know what, a lot of that, even if I send a verse, isn't necessarily what God has at that moment or at that time or even those things. And I just realized, Kathleen, if you really believe that God hears your prayers, if you really believe that God sees this situation and he will work good out for it, express that faith to me. Show me that you believe that. Show me, Kathleen, that you will just pray to me and that you will not worry and stress about this and carry this burden. Show me that, Kathleen. You're laying in your bed at night. Show me that. So I prayed and I said, God, you will work this out for good. You have every time before and you will this time too. And I chose to walk in that. I didn't take matters into my own hands. I knew God had a plan. I can't see that plan. I have to trust him. Over time, I have become convinced of these things. Hebrews 11:6, it says, he is the rewarder of those who seek his face. Do I believe that? Do I believe that God will reward those who seek his face? I believe that. I stand on that. I tell God, God, I am standing on that verse, that you will reward me if I seek your face. I'm standing on Romans 8:28, that you will work out all things for the good of those who love him. I stand on those verses. I cling to them. I tell God, I put them back at God. In tears, I put them back to God and I say, here's your word. I'm going all the way with this, God. This is what I'm doing. This is the path I'm on. And it's almost like this. Oh, God, show me. Show me. Give it to me. And he does. He does every time, doesn't he, Renee? Every time he does. He gives it to you. You got to hold. You got to wait. You got to trust him. Okay, a couple things here. God has called me to... These are a couple things that God calls a woman to, and we've talked about these, but God has called me to lay down my life for others. God has called you to lay down your life for others, okay? So you need to practice that now. That's an expression of your biblical womanhood, is to lay down your life for others. How can you do that? God has called me to be a woman that focuses on my inner beauty more than my outer beauty. Okay? Today's culture of young women, you guys are exercising, you guys are pumped, you guys are drinking enough water, you got apps on your phone, you're green, you're eating green, right? I mean, right? It's crazy. It's completely crazy. Stephen and I grew up in a time where we never, ever had a single conversation about how much water we were drinking. We never carried a water bottle, ever. It wasn't even heard of. You never asked someone, how much water have you drank for the day, ever. Am I right, Stephen? Never. It's crazy where we've gotten, right? And we're locked and loaded in that. We're locked and loaded in eating green. We're locked and loaded in muscle. And, I can't even find myself. It's like, how much protein does this have? It's like, okay. Let me just challenge you, okay? If you're going to do that, fine, fair enough. Every hour that you give to that you give attention to that, you have to give that hour to God also about your inner beauty, okay? Right? Isn't that the way at least that should be, at least? And yet, if I said to you, what's your program for creating your inner beauty? What's your program for developing that? If I said to you, what's your program for creating muscle? I bet I could get some answers, couldn't I? Right? Some clear answers, right? And I have flabby arms. You girls could get excited about helping me, right? I mean, you girls could be like, whoa, Kath, you really want to know? Come here, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what to eat, and I'll tell you how to get going, right? And you would be clear-headed in how to help me grow muscle. If I tell you, sisters, I need help in growing a gentle and quiet spirit, does anyone have any program for that? Does anyone have any app for that? Does anyone have any counter? Like, you know how you count bottles of water? Does anyone have any counters for that? That's crazy. That's completely crazy that we know more how to build muscle than we know how to develop a gentle and quiet spirit. That we have a plan for being physically fit, and we have no plan, no clear plan for developing the things of the Lord in our hearts. Completely. Would you guys agree? I'm not supposed to get crazy. All right, let me go back. Okay. Where are we at? He's called me to develop a submissive heart. Wow, this one's been a long journey for me. I'm opinionated, right? And I'm sassy, and I'm strong, right? And God calls me to be submissive, and God calls me to follow other people, and God calls me not to share all my ideas that I think are amazing, and God calls me to listen to people and to care for them. And oh, it has been a journey. My husband is a quiet, gentle leader. He's a strong leader, but he is not a verbal leader. I can do circles around him verbally. I can do ideas. I can circle him ideas. Like before he ever gets out of bed, I can have 50 ideas. And yet, God has dealt with me. God has dealt with me. Stephen is my leader. God has put him as my head. I follow him. I do things the way he wants them done. I ask his opinion. I receive from him. I bring good to him. That's my heart, to bring good to him, to join him in what he's doing, to bring life to him. One time I read this little thing. I want to be sweeter to Steve Nelson than I am to any other person on the face of this earth. I want to be sweeter to Steve than anybody else on the face of this earth. That's amazing to come along and care about someone at that level and to bring good to them and to treasure them in that way and to trust them. God has called me to willingly thrive in the helper role, to bring my whole heart into that helper role, someone else's world. Genesis 2, let's go back. Am I running late? I am. Genesis 2, okay? Genesis 2, he said, this is what he did not do, okay? He looked at Adam and he said, Adam, it is not good for you to be alone. I will make a helper for you, right? And he creates Eve out of the rib, right? And then he brings Eve to Adam. This is the ta-da verse where it's like, he brought the woman to the man. Ta-da, isn't she beautiful? Okay, this is what he did not do. He did not put Eve in her own world and get her own world up and going and get her own desires and her own dreams and her own plans. And he did not get that all up and going and then say, oh, I think I will blend these two worlds together. I will blend Adam's world. Adam's got all this vision and all these things going on, and Eve's got all these visions. Now we're going to blend these two Christian worlds and make one world. That is not how God designed it. God made Eve, and he brought her. He did not give her her own world. He brought her into the man's world. That is profound. When I grew up in Christianity, I thought the woman had her own world, the guy had his own world, and you just blend the worlds. You just make one united world that accommodates everybody's dreams and everybody's ideas and everybody's plans and everybody's ways of doing things. And then one day I'm in the scripture, it's like, whoa, that's not how that goes. God didn't give Eve her own world. God put Eve into Adam's world and said, this is now your world, and you're the helper to create and bring good into this world. That is profound. That is completely profound. That he did not give her her own world. And so I've had to learn that. I'm mad at my thing. Okay, and then he's called us to good deeds, and that's its own story. Just of God working that out in my life and helping me to understand that my life needs to be given to good deeds. Okay, what can we learn from this? Where do we go from here? Okay, and let me warn you, I have never met a woman that this stuff comes naturally to. I've never met a woman. There are aspects of it that maybe come naturally, but I've never met a woman where God's picture of God's woman comes naturally, and they get it and they walk in it naturally without the Spirit. This is a work of the Spirit. This is a work of God in your life and God working in your life. Here are your three steps. Number one, set your course. I love Isaiah 1:18. It says, come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. I felt like God has very often said that to me. Come now, Kathleen, come sit with me. Let's settle this once and for all. Can you stop fighting me? Is Stephen going to be your head or not? Let's settle that. Okay, yes, let's settle that. Okay, come now, Kathleen, let's settle this next issue that you're grumbling around in and fussing about. Let's settle that. Settle this. Set your course. Decide, this is the woman I want to grow into. This is the woman I want to continue to grow into. My life verse is the next verse. This is my life verse. In fact, Malia made me a wall hanging of this verse for this Christmas, and I'm going to take it home and put it in my house. She just gave it to me on this trip. My heart is blank on keeping your decrees to the very end. Set. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I memorized that verse as a very young woman. That verse has been my compass. That verse is my life verse. That verse will be on my gravestone whenever I'm gone. That's it. Okay? That is my life verse. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I would encourage you, gals, make that. Make that your life verse. Tell God, this is what I want, God. I can't do this on my own. I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough courage to walk this. But here's my life verse. Help me walk this. Go deep with God. Go deep with him. Love his word. Know his word. Memorize his word. Memorize his word to replace your mindless, frustrating thought life. Replace it with the word. You know, as you get older, this is a little secret. You don't have to write this down because it'll come naturally. As you get older, you won't sleep as well. True? I mean, it's true. Okay. So here's what I decided. A long time before sleep issues came into my life, I decided I can be up all night and I can worry about things and I can struggle through things and I can wrestle. This is just what I'm going to memorize. And I memorize almost every night, a couple hours usually. And it's all on my phone. It's all on Quizlet. And I just go through verses. And Stephen will roll over. He'll be like, what are you doing? I'm like, working on my verses. Just working on my verses. Don't I, Steve? Almost every night, I work on my verses. And that's what I do. Because the other option is to sit there and worry and think. My thinking gets me nowhere. It's like a circular spiral down. I have to replace my thinking with God's thinking. And I just do packs and packs and packs of verses in the middle of the night. And often I'll get up in the morning and I'll be tired, but I'm so encouraged. I'm like, last night for 2 hours, I just got to enjoy the Lord and I just worked on His Word. I don't read it, I just memorize it. And it'll just be my phone will just be laying there on my chest and I'll fall asleep. And oh yeah, Isaiah 55:11. My thoughts are not my thoughts, my words are there. Oh, wait, what's that wording? Oh, yeah. Literally, almost every night, that's what I do. So when you get toward menopause, you have a plan. But I would encourage you, how many of you have a hard time sleeping and you get on your phone? Right? Pretty common to do, right? I can give you some truth packs to work on. Get those verses. Get all these verses that we went through today. Get them on your truth pack. Don't lay there at night thinking. That will get you nowhere. You will be no better spot in the morning. Work on those verses. Work on them. Sleep with your phone. You do anyway. Sleep with your phone and use your phone to keep your heart going. Such an amazing thing. These are not idle words for you. They are your very life. That's what that Deuteronomy verse says. When Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may, this is interesting, you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. God's word is your life. Memorize it. Know it. Nancy DeMoss says, so I implore you, read God's word. Turn to it first, not last. Read it when you feel like it. Read it when you don't feel like it. Purpose to read it. Soak in it every day of your life. Read God's word. Memorize God's word. Have it on your lips. Proverbs 22:17-18. Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you have them in your heart, and when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips. You will know that you have soaked in God's word enough when it's just coming off your lips. When you're being able to speak it to others. When it's just right there. It's right there. You're telling me you're anxious? It's right there. Philippians 4:7-8. You're telling me that you're sad? It's right there. It's right there. I've got it. That's when you're going to know, okay, these words are not just idle words. They are my very life. They are what I cling to. And I'm telling you, gals, this is my protein plan right here. That's it. This is what I'm building on. This is it. This is all I'm serious about, and I'm very serious about this. Take courage in your journey. God is at work there. I'm going to finish this up. Number two, tackle your heart issues. Get older women in your life. Tackle what you're afraid of. Tackle. Why are you afraid of this yoke? Start talking about that. Start telling people, I'm afraid of this. I don't know what to do with this. I need input in my life. I need you to help me. Someone needs to know you, and they need to be speaking into your life. If no one knows you enough that they're not speaking into your life, you've got to position yourself with older women to get into a position where they can speak into your life. Someone's got to know you, and that's your job to do that. It's not their job to come seek you out. It's your job. Work on those nagging feelings, those things that are getting you. And then the last point there is start today. Start expressing biblical womanhood today. Can you guys think of a step of obedience that you could take right now? That you could take before, let's say, before the end of the day? And expressing biblical womanhood. Can anybody think of a way that you could express biblical womanhood today? Do something for somebody else. What else could you do today to express biblical womanhood?
Encourage someone.
Okay, encourage someone. What else could you do?
Take captive every thought.
Take captive every thought. Good.
In prayer.
In prayer. Uh-huh. Pray for someone. What else could you do?
Have that moment with the Lord where we just, even just a second, just saying, this is where I'm at. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I'm scared. I don't want to do it.
That real moment, that authentic moment with God. You know, bring good to others. Consider others more important than yourself. That's what the scripture says. Consider others more important. Honor others. Show honor to others. All those things are things that you can do today. So anyway, you guys can fill out. There's verses there with blanks. I love this. And you guys fill out those blanks. And then if you don't know, you can come ask me what they are. But there's the beginning of your Quizlet pack on your phone. I'm going to go down through them. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. It's about obedience. Psalm 119, 99, and 100. I love this. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Obedience is huge. Walk in what you know. Obey. Start today. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Especially bring good to the family of believers. Okay? We don't live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We're living for other people. The next blank there, we belong to the Lord. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. That is who we are. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to shift out of here, okay? Or we can probably talk for a little bit. But Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you have brought me life, God, that you have life in store for all of us, God. I thank you, God, that as we wrestle through these things, God, you are present. Your grace is there. We can stand in your grace. We can stand in your strength, God. We don't have to muster this up. We don't have to come up with this on our own, God. We can just look to you, and we can just humbly and even weak in our weakness, God, we can tell you we need help to walk in this. I thank you, God, already that you are faithful and that you will do this work in our lives. And all we have to do is turn our hearts and tell you, God, that we want this, that we belong to you, that we're willing to trust you at this level. God, I pray that you would give faith and courage to each one of these young women to step into that, to step into what you're called to see that picture of your womanhood and the beauty of that and to desire that. God, give us that desire, even in our hearts, God, give us that desire and the courage to walk that. I thank you for these women. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your goodness. And we lift all this up to you in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, any questions?
You mentioned that God may not have self-protection for us.
Oh.
I'm speaking here generally in normal situations, but obviously some of you may have been in abusive situations, are in one now, and obviously that's different than what you were talking about there. I would really encourage you if you've been in situations like that, or currently, I don't know if I should get out, talk to somebody across, talk to your pastor.
Absolutely. Good thought. Any other thoughts or questions? Or yes, Heidi.
As you were going through, there were a couple of things that were just in scripture specific for women. But some of them, I can only think of one of them right now, but there were a few of them that I want to ask, how, like, would they apply to men as well? And the one that I was going through, I'm like, which one? Lay down our life for others.
Yes, yes.
So then where is that crossover of men are called to these things as well?
Uh-huh.
And what is then the difference?
That's a good question. Heather, why don't you come? Heather's just going to come up and field questions with me, and she would have thoughts too. I think that's really good. I like to think of, and I didn't say this the way I wanted to say this, but I like to think of that passage in Proverbs 31 where it says, she brings good to him all the days of her life. I like to think of us as bringers of good. I think the word calls us to that, that we bring good to situations. He does call men to lay down their lives. He calls husbands to love as Christ loved the church, right? So there is that calling. So then there's this expression of us as women. I'm trying to not be flowery in this. And if you look at that profile of womanhood and you see those verses of laying down your life for others, I'm specifically thinking about the widow passage in 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5, it actually talks about the widows. It says no widow should be put on the list of widows unless she's over 60 and that she's well known for certain things on that list. On that list are things like well known for good deeds, helping those who are poor, bringing up children, washing the feet of the saints. There's a list in there, right? So those are things that a woman is well known for. I think in that, there's some laying down of their life. For sure, men are called to lay down their life. But there are some lists there, some passages. I'll have to think about that on some more. But that 1 Timothy 5 list. Do you have any thoughts?
No, that's good.
Take that one. Does that help? Let me think about that on some more.
I think it's really easy, this generation of, but what about men? Like, what are they?
Oh, yeah.
Are they doing these things too? Why is this just me? Like, yeah. I think those would be really easy questions to come up with.
Yeah, and I think that is. I think I went through that wrestle a long time ago. I forgot about that wrestle. Because I think that is hard. What about men? And what are they called to? And you can sure sit in on the men's talk. Raj won't mind at all. But he's going to call them to be leaders. He's going to call them to lay down. I mean, you can look at the men verses, too, and there's a whole calling on their life, too. And that whole calling is laying down their life in their way. Sometimes we'll marriage counsel with people, and Stephen will say to the couple, he'll say, tell me, which do you think it's harder? Do you think it's harder to be the wife or the husband? And the wife is the one that's qualified. The wife. And Steve's like, okay, so you think this list isn't that hard. And he lays down the list of what it is to be a man. It's like both of them are very, very hard to live in God's realm. Both of them require laying down your life. So I think we're a little self-focused to think our calling is hard and what about the men? And I think we think that because, well, how this translates is I'm the helper. Right? I'm submitted to other people. Actually, it calls the men submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Right? So men are called to submit too. So it's not just a women thing, but we women can get a little persnickety about this. You're calling me to do this? Well, in fact, he calls the men to do this too. He calls the men to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So I think every time I felt that huffiness in my soul, it was in pride, and it was not trusting that God was fair and that God valued both, right? So it all whittles down to that. When you start unraveling all of that bristle in your heart, it whittles down to, God, I don't think you're good. You're withholding good from me. And, you know, the scripture says he doesn't withhold good from you. And so I think those are some things, you know, when I talk about tackling your heart issue, unraveling some of those pride things that, right?
Yeah. I think just as you were talking to, I think one of the verses that's really helpful when we're just kind of evaluating our own situation and how it can feel so difficult. And it was verses that you touched on too, but the Lord will, Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You don't need to be still. And I mean, that kind of covers a lot of that, right? That covers what somebody else is doing, what I'm called to. There's a great story in 2 Chronicles 20 that I talk about a lot. You guys know, but it's just how the Lord goes before us and fights a whole battle and does the whole thing without us even doing anything, but just getting the people stood forward, and then he rescued them. So just kind of along with mm-hmm. your verses about the God, just the king going before you and mm-hmm. calling you into certain battles mm-hmm. that he calls you into, but not necessarily asking us to go and fight all the battles mm-hmm. or just mm-hmm. or determine which battles we are to fight. So that might fall under that. Just what are the men doing? What are they called to? That might not be our particular battle to fight or to sort through. But again, I think like what Steve said too, it was just there's so many situations that can be tricky, and it's just really good to see counsel.
Mm-hmm. Angie.
I had a question about just you mentioned that he was faced into Adam's world, and as like being single, how many plans and how many goals should I have, and how flexible should I be with the goal and choosing like a person to date, or generally how flexible should they be since we're following the man later?
Good question, girl. Yeah, go for it, Shay. Yeah, no. Speak loud, though.
Okay, I'm single, and I have a friend. I just think that God has a calling on your life, and no matter what it is, whoever comes along will join you in that calling, and you're not going to have to worry about, I mean, I think you should be intentional on your dating or whatever, but I just feel like that God has a person for you that's going to come along and be where you're at and go, like go with his will, and like you'll both be on the same page. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I've never been married. But I just would think that that's what I'm praying for, is that whatever God's calling is on my life, that whoever is going to meet you there and we can do it together.
Yeah. So your question was, let me get this. I like this question. So your question is, basically you're a single. How much of a world should you have? How much of a goal? How much of a dream, right? That's your question, right? Right, right. I love that question. So I like that because God hasn't called you into marriage, and you don't know if God will call you into marriage, right? So God wants you to live devoted to him. You think about the unmarried woman in 1 Corinthians 7, and it says the unmarried woman is devoted to the Lord in both body and soul or spirit. I can't remember which word, but something like that, right? And so you live devoted to the Lord. And you have people in your life that help you form and process through what would be a good expression of your biblical femininity outside of roles in your life. And that could look very different for a lot of different people. And there's nothing, I don't think, wrong with that. Now, Mr. Godly Man walks in and he says, "Hey, good looking, what you got cooking?" And you say, right? Okay, if that happens, then we'll have a full, fresh conversation, you and I, about, okay, Angela, this is what God's calling you into, but he isn't calling you into that now, and I don't think you live, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you live waiting for that calling. You step into exactly what God has you to, and your verses in that are, you're devoted to the Lord in both body and soul, you're bringing good, especially to the body of believers. Your workplace or whatever you're investing in your days, you're expressing, you're bringing good to those people, you're bringing life to them, you're nurturing, you're coming alongside people. And I think that's a full life. Yeah. Shay? Hey, Heidi, that's a full life. That's a full good life. But when Mr. Godly comes along, then things change and you shift and you say, okay, wait, I'm designed, there's a design here, a God design here. Does that help? This is after, if you get married, this is after you get married.
No, that would be before, for example.
Oh, before.
No, go ahead. Everybody's hearing this.
I just know people who broke up because of, like, different perspectives. They have a huge one. But because of also the calling of, like,
No, I get it. Yeah, yeah. You're saying before you're married.
Yeah.
Okay, Heather.
Okay. So one thing you were just saying though, I think, kind of for purpose verses, when we aren't married, there's two verses that I really like. Just whatever you, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord, not for men. And the verse starts out with whatever, which is really open. So I think God does want us to go pursue things that he'll lay things on our heart. He'll design us a certain way. And if we are really, really drawn to something and we are following the Lord, then that's, he says, go for it, whatever. Or even in Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds to do it, do it with all your might. So I think that's, you can pursue that. And I encourage our kids that way a lot. Like, go for it. If you are doing this thing, then go for it and be great at it. And that's what the word says. If you work with all your heart, you will be great at something. So that's kind of back to that. But then with your spouse, I think, just, or your pre-spouse, like thinking about, like, is this someone you want to follow and admire? Do you admire them? Do you want to follow them? Would you want to go where they're going? And maybe that does change some of your plans ahead of time to make sure you can find that out before you are married. But I think, do you admire them? Do you want to follow them? Do you want them to be the head of your family? Do you want them to be the one that makes the final decision for your children in their lives?
Okay, we need to stop. So in March 10th and 11th, me and another sister are going to go up to the Colorado church, up to Greeley, and do Biblical Womanhood for Singles over a weekend, talking about a lot of different things, okay? I would invite you guys to come. We'd love to have you. And I actually would invite you guys to actually submit some more questions for that time. And you can either grab me or you can say, hey, I want your email or your text, and say, okay, can you cover this? Can you guys talk about this? Because that conference is in the forming stages right now, and it is not set. And so you guys could have an influence on some of the things that are shared there and some of the things that are talked about. I think Omaha is going to be invited into that too. That will be happening, so be thinking about that and be thinking about those questions. I am going to the lobby, and I would love to keep processing if anybody wants to, but you can also go take a nap. That would be good. Thank you for listening, all right?